This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
What is up, podcast? My name is Hussein, and in this episode, I want to discuss ARP, which stands for Address Resolution Protocol. You might say, what is a communication, low-level communication protocol doing in a software engineering podcast? Well, a very good question indeed. ARP is a very interesting protocol that is showing up everywhere, really. So I thought I need to make a video about ARP and then transfer it into a podcast and talk about that, because it's showing up everywhere, right? Man in the middle is because of ARP poisoning, right? Someone can do man in the middle pretty much 90% of the time because of ARP poisoning, because of a way mishandling ARP, right? So I'm gonna talk about ARP in this episode, and enjoy.
ARP, or Address Resolution Protocol, is a protocol that maps IP address to a MAC address so the host can be addressed. I wanted to make a video explaining ARP because it's starting to surface a lot on different of my videos that I'm actually making, such as like Man in the Middle. It's surfacing when I'm talking about load balancing. It's surfacing when I'm talking about security. So it actually deserves its own video, right? Despite there are a lot of videos out there talking about ARP, I'm gonna address ARP from a software engineering perspective. So here are the agenda that I'm gonna discuss there. So first thing, gonna define what ARP is, and then gonna talk about why do we need this protocol, why ARP, right? And how it is actually very important, okay? And then I'm gonna talk about a little bit of the network frame and where ARP fits, right? And why do we need the MAC address? Why is this MAC address thing, right? And then finally, we're gonna show an example using a GET request, an HTTP GET request, and how it funnels all the way down to the ARP request, all right? So if you're interested, stay tuned. If you're new here, welcome. My name is Hussein, and this channel, we discuss all sorts of software engineering by example. So if you wanna become a better software engineer, consider subscribing, hit that bell icon so you get notified every time I upload a new video. That said, let's just jump into ARP. All right, so why would we need ARP? So here's the thing, right? If I am browsing the web, right, I'm going google.com, hit enter, that's a GET request. GET request translates into the layer 7, into the headers of HTTP, and let me know what you guys want to see next.
Pushed into some data,
data, obviously that's I'm it. Addressing an IP address, and that's most of the time we always know the IP address. How do we know the IP address? From a DNS call, right, from google.com, give me the DNS, give me the IP address, now I know the IP address, I know where to address. But guess what? Everything goes down into a lower layer before we hit the physical layer, where's the cables or the wireless or fiber optics. We need to put the physical machine addresses, and it's called MAC, right? And that lives at the layer 2 level. Every frame you look at, it always has a destination MAC and a source MAC, right? And when you need to these two addresses, right, these two addresses are not really human addressable, right? We don't really play with them. Yet, every machine out there plays with those things. So we need these low-level addresses. And we're going to show how it looks like, right? And most of the time, we actually know the IP address, but never the MAC, right? We don't send messages and addressing a MAC address, right? We always say, hey, this is my IP address. Go and send the message to that IP. Let's say, hey, get 10.0.0.3:8080. I'm making a request to a web server, right? And I know the IP address. What happened here is that request translates to a frame, and that frame have the IP address, the source and destination IP address, the source and destination port, and then lower level, we put the MAC destination and the source destination. And we talked about the OSI model in detail. I'm going to reference it here, guys. So what happened here is, if I have an IP address, I know my IP address, but I don't know the MAC, we need a method to convert the IP address to a MAC, right? And that's what ARP is, Address Resolution Protocol. It converts, it finds the MAC address for a given IP address. That's what it does, right? Because we don't know the MAC address, so we need to find it. And because that operation is expensive, we build this ARP table that's local to your machine, and it caches that stuff. And boy, this stuff is important, guys. As we start talking about virtual IP addresses and ARP proxying, this becomes really critical to understand, okay, as a software engineer. Yeah. So, ARP table. So let's talk about how the network frame looks like. Assume I have, this is my machine. It's an IP address, 10.0.0.2, and that's my MAC address. And I'm going to start shortening these things. So I'm going to refer to my IP address as a number and the MAC address by the first two letters, just to simplify drawing, okay? And this is my destination server that I'm trying to connect to, and it's 10.0.0.3, and this is the MAC address. And what happened here, it's listening on port 8080. Let's say this is an Express server or a Django server, right? Python server listening to some REST API, right? And I want to make a GET request, right? So you start building this GET request slash, right? And you know the destination port, right? So you put it there, right? And when I say put it there, essentially the HTTP client does that for you, right? Establishes the TCP connection and does that for you. Establishing that, and then you put the destination, you know the IP address, let's go ahead and do that. And then you put a random port, that's your source port ID, okay? And then the source IP address, that's you, right? And here's what you know, this all get encapsulated, this all piece becomes one data blinded bits, right? And that gets shoved into the destination MAC address. And then this is the source MAC address. Obviously, this is broken into multiple frames, guys. The whole thing doesn't fit into this. What will happen is this will be broken into multiple frames with the source and destination MAC address tagged, right? So for simplicity, I'm going to convert this and I start referring to this. So the orange is the frames, right? This is layer 2, this is layer 4, and this is layer 7, okay? Sweet. 3 is the IP address here, and 2 is the IP address. Cool. I'm not going to show the port because it's not relevant, right? So that's what a frame looks like. That's a simple frame, okay? Here's what I think here. So I didn't know the MAC address for this machine, so I did a ARP request to find it out. So let's show an example on exactly how did I find that out. Okay, so assume this is the configuration here. This is my machine. I am IP address 2, 10.0.0.2, and I want to connect, right, to this web server, 10.0.0.5, right? And gateway, GW is the gateway, essentially, where's the router? That's my router, that's the external IP of the router, that's the IP address, that's the MAC address of the router, very important stuff, okay? And that's the other, some other machines. And these are the ARP tables. And if you notice, the ARP table has one entry, which is yourself. Obviously, you know yourself, right? So IP2 is AA, IP3, BB, and so on, right? Got it? And I want to make a GET request to machine 3, right? Actually, she's supposed to be 5, but sure. Fixed it. That was quick. All right. So what I want to do is I want to connect from my machine to this machine. I want to send a GET request, right? So I know the IP address, 5. I know my MAC address, it's AA, right? I know my source IP address, it's 2, right? So I want to now find out what's the destination MAC address so I can put it in a frame so I can send it so everybody can receive it, right? So 10.0.0.2 wants to connect to 10.0.0.5. So this could be just a UDP request, TCP, HTTP, anything, right? But in this case, it's an actual GET request, right? So machine 2 needs to find the MAC address of machine 5. How do we do that? We do an ARP request. So we send an ARP request, everybody gets it. And what happens here is that machine will reply to the destination, the one who requested that ARP, with its own MAC address. So, all right, So what will happen here is machine 2 sends an ARP request. So that's the ARP request. So it's like, who has the IP address 10.0.0.5? Okay. And what will happen is this machine will reply, says, hey, I have that IP address. Here's my MAC address. The rest of the nodes will drop that request. Essentially, we'll just say, nah, that's not me. Okay. And here's where things can get bad, guys. Right? That request, if someone tries to impersonate someone else, they can actually fake it. Right? It's like, hey, it's actually me. I have that IP address. And it's my MAC. And that's what's called ARP poisoning, but it's outside the scope of this video. So now I know IP address, it's DD. So let's go ahead and send that, right? So we go ahead and send it, right? So very simple. So that's how ARP works essentially, right? Makes sense, very straightforward. And we know the MAC address, we know the MAC address, I can put it in a frame, I can send it across the network, and I can essentially receive it. And when I do that, I update my ARP table. So next time I don't need to do an ARP request because it's expensive, right? Anything that goes through the network and reaches a lot of people, a lot of nodes just to get that answer, it's expensive, right? So that's what I get, okay? All right, let's spice things a little bit. Let's assume I want to connect to a machine that is outside my subnetwork, right? In this case, it is this Google, for example, 44222. It's a IP address X, okay? And this IP address is not within the subnet that I am in, which is 10.0.0.2. So the moment my machine finds out that, what it does, it says, oh, okay. It says, wait a second. So I cannot communicate directly with that IP address because it's not in my subnet, right? But you know who can? My gateway can, right? And the gateway is whenever the IP is outside the subnet, which is like a slash 24 or whatever the subnet mask is, if it's outside, then the machine automatically sends the packet to the gateway. And guess what? The gateway, I know the IP address of the gateway, it's 1, but I do not know the MAC address of my gateway. So what do I do? I know the IP address of the gateway, and when you connect to your Wi-Fi, you see there is an entry called gateway, and that's your router most of the time, right? So my gateway is this guy. So I am going to do an ARP request for the first time, right, on my gateway, so 10.0.0. So I'm going to ask, all right, I'm going to connect 10.0.0. We want to connect this. It's outside the subnet, so we're going to send it to the gateway. And who has the IP address of this gateway? And so my machine sends that ARP request, and we're going to get back a result that's called FF. And in this case, we get back the results, right? And once I get that results, right, I get that MAC address, I can stop building that thing. So I can build my frame, and I send it to the router, and the router does an at, right? Changes its my IP address from 2 to its IP address and send it to the Google server or whatever, right? To the outside network, okay? So that's where it gets really scary, right? That's how most man-in-the-middle attacks happen, right? Someone can pretend to be the network router and says, hey, by the way, because you know what the IP address of the router is. So you start sending broadcast signals like, hey, guys, I'm actually the router, and here's my MAC address. So people think that this guy is the router, and they start sending its data to the router. And that happened a lot in public Wi-Fis, right? It can easily happen a lot, right? And the moment it does that, they can start sniffing using Wireshark or whatever application to start sniffing the data. Not unless it's secure. If it's secure, if it's using TLS, right, HTTPS, then they cannot see anything, right? But yeah. They could do a man-in-the-middle attack and sniff things and read things and do bad stuff. All right, summary, what did we learn? So we learned why we need our ARP. Everything in the network gets sent through MAC addresses, right? So we need those MAC addresses, but guess what? We know IP addresses. We do not know MAC addresses. So we need something to translate IP to MAC, and that's ARP, okay? And then we talked about a little bit of our network frames, and then we talked about a little example. Hope you enjoyed this video, guys. We'll talk a little bit about ARP poisoning, maybe in another video, right? But hope you enjoyed this video, right? I know I didn't dive deep into the ARP protocol itself, right? Again, I'm a software engineer. I'm not an network engineer. I'm not an expert in these things, right? I care until about what the ARP request is, what it does. I leave the detailed ARP request and ARP protocol details to the expert or network engineering expert who actually know better than I. I rather stay on the software engineering side of it, right? But I thought this is a video that I should make and just have it in the library of the videos that we talk about. And I thought of talking about it from a software engineering point of view, because that's a lot of people ask me about that. So hope you enjoyed this video. Going to see you in the next one. Stay awesome.